Pop quiz, everybody. Put your stuff away. Come on, no whining. If you've done your reading, this should be an easy one.
It is March 1988. You were never super close to Angela, but you've always been on friendly terms. So why the heck is she making moves on Dennis from Second Period History, who she also once called Kevin, when she knows you're about to go on a maybe date with him? Are you going to have to compete with her for him? Are you up to it? Do you have the competitive drive to see it through? Well, it's time to open up this new magazine and take their quiz and see what's what. It's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Ribbon.
Hello.
Hey, Pam.
Hi, Tara.
Hey, listeners.
Hey, Dave.
Today we are going to be talking about the quiz, which is how competitive are you? And we also put it up on our website, which we'll link in the show notes. You can take this quiz yourself. It will deliver your score. And we're going to do a few questions just for you to hear our highlights. So we'll just do those for you, starting with question one, Dave.
Question one, you overhear your brother boasting to your parents about another straight A report card. You managed three A's, but the rest were B's and C's. You, A, go straight to your room, secretly pledging to raise the rest of your grades. B, congratulate him and show off your three A's. After all, three is better than none. C, grab a pen from your backpack and carefully change the B's and C's to A's. Or D, corner your mother after dinner and argue that your brother has easier classes than you do, four periods of PE, and imply that he probably had to cheat for his grades. I want to do this one because, in fact, I have done C. I did change my grades on a report card once. I believe it was seventh grade when we were still getting letter grades before high school when they switched over to actually giving us numbers. I have to say, this is a hot life scoop tip for all you 12-year-olds out there if this happens to you. Don't go to the effort of changing a letter into an A because it's never going to work. What, your A's got a big bow at the top? Like, no. What you do is what I did. You scratch it out, and right next to it, you put the grade that you want, A+, go nuts, and then you sign your teacher's initials right on top of it. And it looks like he just made a last-minute mistake, and he caught it. And you give that to your parents, and if you're me, you get away with it. Ding!
Oh, boy.
Wow.
What about you guys?
Well, I wouldn't do that.
This is my naughtiest answer out of the whole quiz. It's the one bad boy answer.
First of all, if my brother has four periods of PE, then I have more A's than he does. Like, I won. So That's ridiculous. But I would probably just show the three and then peace out and...
I would do A. I would go straight to my room secretly pledging to raise the rest of my grades. But I would also congratulate him. I wouldn't be shitty about it.
Would you congratulate him or would you put him on notice later?
Yeah, maybe that.
Are you going straight to your room because you're grounding yourself? Or it's just so you're getting out of the way?
I think I'm going straight to my room because I'm pouting / stewing / vowing my plan back to prominence and supremacy.
Having lost the bet with your brother, you must clean his room up. And while you're cleaning his room, you spy your mother kissing the pool boy.
Oh, my God. Da, 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 da,
da. All makes sense now. Everything is linked. I picked number 7 because it was the one where... Number 7 is, a boy you die for has a favor to ask. He wants you to ask your best friend if she'll go out with him. So I just picked this one because maybe it's happened to me a couple of times, and so I know what I would do. A, don't ask her, but tell him she said no. B, try to talk him out of dating her. C, ask her and report back to him. You figure even if he does go out with her, you could be friends. Or D, tell him how you feel about him before you ask her. Just a solid C on this one, because if you think about it, since we're teaching the 12-year-olds how to scam... Also, make sure that your friend says yes so that he will date her so that you will get to keep talking to him. And then you talk to him a lot. Because if she says no, that was it. That was your one shot. He's never going to talk to you again. And you can learn a lot by being a Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah, I am also solid C. I would definitely not be confident enough to tell him how I feel about him before I asked her, nor to try to talk him out of dating her. And I wouldn't want to risk the friendship by pretending to pass on the message to her, but not actually doing it because she would find out and then I would be fucked.
I couldn't live with that in my stomach.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
This is truly a theoretical exercise for me because there is no way any of this would have happened to me in high school.
Even with the genders flipped.
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant like nobody is coming anywhere near me with things romantic, no matter what side of the equation things are on. Whether they think I'm cute, they didn't. Whether they think my friend is cute, they didn't. Whether they want me to ask somebody on something, not happening. I was neither the recipient or the messenger on any of this. That said,
you're the locker behind the scene.
Yeah, Dave and I were both very shy, which is why it took us like 8 months to actually realize that we liked each other after we first met. This is a true story.
It's a process that we're still working on. So I'm answering this theoretically, and just out of a fear of conflict, I would absolutely do C because it is the safest option. And like, I don't really give a shit, really. Yeah, that's the thing is there's no option for, can you ask them to mind their own business and not get me involved? Saving that C.
All right. I went with question 9. After sending your application off to the Oregon School of Forestry,
Timber.
Your best friend tells you that she's planning to apply to Harvard. You, A, get discouraged, skip college, and go to Europe instead. B, wish her luck, but secretly hope she doesn't get in. C, continue applying to the colleges with the best forestry courses, whether they're Ivy League or not. D, apply to all the Ivy League schools you can think of, even though you'd rather be a forest ranger than a scholar. This one does not really reflect my actual true competitive nature, but truly, I am a C. Continue applying to the colleges with the best forestry courses, whether they're Ivy League or not, because if I didn't care to go to Harvard before my friend was going, then I still don't. Like, I don't care, and this may be a situation where, having grown up in Canada that doesn't have the same status attached to any of its universities that the Ivy League does, like, it just is not a thing. I mean, there's two that are sort of considered above and beyond, and the rest are all equally pretty good. So this isn't something that would bother me either way. So, yeah, C, continue applying to the schools with the best forestry courses because I want to be a forest ranger, man.
I don't appreciate the low-level disdain for the Oregon School of Forestry.
It's a perfectly good job. It's probably a union job.
Which, by the way, I looked it up. It's the Oregon College of Forestry, apparently, is the real one. And it exists. And they're teaching people about trees to stay. Yeah, you got to follow your bliss. Why are you going to roadmap the rest of your life for this friend? And frankly, some of these could happen at the same time. Like, I could continue to apply to colleges with forestry things and wish her luck and secretly hope she doesn't get in. And frankly, apply to all the Ivy League schools as well. Like, you can do so much of this. Like, really, the Europe one's the only one that precludes you from the rest of the options. Yeah, I'm going to become a forest ranger. I'm going to stop that bear from swiping them picnic baskets. And I'm going to do my thing amongst the acorns.
Yeah, but you have really highlighted here Pam's conundrum. Because if this is your best friend and she's planning to apply to Harvard, did I not know this already? Is this new information to me? And is she going to Harvard because she wants to go to Harvard? Or is she going to Harvard so that she went to Harvard, right?
I think the scenario the question is implying is that the Oregon School of Forestry is so hard to get into, harder than anything else, because it's really competitive. Everybody wants to get into this college, that you had to apply so much earlier than she did for Harvard. That's the temporal situation.
Okay.
But I think, well, what if she was just planning to be with me, too? We were like two trees in a pod, and we were going to do this together. And then all of a sudden, she's fucking applying to Harvard, and that was not what the plan was. We had a plan.
I
had already applied.
Come on.
Yeah, OSCOF for life. And so, anyway, you know, if a tree falls in a forest. But so I feel like I'm going to wish her luck, but I'm going to secretly hope she doesn't get in because I want her to come with me to Oregon. That we had plans. We had plans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave good enough alone. Don't be a sap.
Oh, yes. 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 You have to be willing to branch out to other Ivy League schools.
Just leave her be.
Yeah.
No, it's true, though. This is really where you plant your roots, college.
I thought I would get sick of more of this, but here we are.
I know. You know, I love a corny joke.
My name is Kayla Johnston. I'm a Master's of Science student studying fire ecology and forest management at Oregon State University. I think it's really important to understand how fire history has shaped the stand structure and the age structure, because it heavily dictates how it responds to fire, how it responds to insects, how it responds to drought, any sort of disturbance or stress.
All right, so let's give our scores for this so everybody knows that I am a normal boy. I scored between 11 and 20, and so did you, Tara.
I did. Do you want to read the whole passage?
Please
do. Dave and I are the same, and according to this, I don't know how to break this to you, but you're completely normal, untrue,
no.
In my case. At least as far as competition goes, no. You've somehow managed to balance competition and humility. Wrong. You're the kind of person who can take the lead in the school play without making a whole cast of enemies. You're living proof that good guys can finish first.
Tara, you only think that you're not normal because we've yet to hear from the monster that is Pamela Griffin.
Well, no. Pam, how did you do?
Well, first of all, I guess I scored a little higher than you, so it's closer to an A. I got more numbers, more points. And it says, okay, I'll be brutally honest here. You're a show-off. And I think having to read this in front of you is humiliating, by the way. You're the one who tells the teacher when she forgets to give homework. That's true. And you've always got to be a little faster, higher, louder, sweeter, smarter, funnier than everyone else. Or maybe I feel like such a dick. Just don't fool yourself into thinking that other people don't resent it. And a thing I had not recognized, not realized. Oh, I'm so uncomfortable. A warning. You've got definite yuppie potential. And as any good yuppie will tell you, it's lonely at the top.
Look,
you okay, Pam?
Pam, let me just say, this is the reason that I scored as low as I did is because this quiz was weighted very heavily with sports questions where I just had to like really use my imagination. If there had been questions about trying out for the school play, which I did, being in band, which I certainly was, any of the things where I actually like cared or like that had resonance with my own experience, or like if there was literally one question about a board or party game, this would be a completely different situation, and you know it.
That's true. If it was just about game night, we would find out just how high this quiz goes.
Yeah, you're right.
They have
true.
New points. Mm-hmm.
Tara is an apex predator on game night.
I appreciate you trying to make me feel better. What a very completely normal thing to do.
We did get some calls from listeners who took the quiz and also felt some particular resonance with some questions. Let's hear from the first of those from Shanice.
Hi, my name is Shanice Anonymous. Anonymous only because of my high score on the quiz. I'm a little embarrassed, but I guess I'm a little competitive. I don't have a story that I can think of right now, although a couple of those, the quiz questions brought up some things, particularly track. I did not have an opportunity to not give my competitor a pair of cleats. But, anyway, I am the one who would tell the teacher that they forgot to give homework. Actually, I have done that and did not get voted in for cheerleader that year. So, I just realized now that I might need therapy. I might need to talk to somebody about this, because kind of translates into my current job. Of me telling people what they've done wrong. And so thank you for opening my eyes to this potential problem.
Excellent.
That is how I feel. That feeling that Shanice is slowly confessing out all of her. I feel exactly the same way, Shanice. We're both winners.
We also heard from Eve.
Hi, guys. It's Eve from San Francisco calling in. I just took Sassy's How Competitive Are You quiz from the March 1988 issue, which would have been, I would have been 16 in March of 1988. And so I tried to answer in the role of that person who's very different than the old lady who doesn't give a shit anymore person I am now. But there's one thing that leapt out at me in this quiz that I want to bring up, and it's the essay question thing. Now, this isn't just because when I grew up, I did indeed become a writer who is paid for stuff and doesn't have to enter fucking competitions for free. But so the question is this. Your best friend who dreams of being the next Emily Bronte has entered an essay competition. Your English teacher suggests you enter it as well. And the things are like, oh, should you enter or not? Because since she wants to be in it. The answer that should have been in there is, who gives a shit? Emily Bronte wasn't really an essayist. If your friend is like writing in Bronte style, you're going to fucking crush her anyway. She's not going to do a good job. So just enter and who cares? I guess that makes me sound like I'm more competitive. It also, this is the weird thing. The answer was that I am completely normal, which I know is not true about being competitive. Either my 16-year-old self or my 49-year-old self. Neither of us are normal when it comes to competition. Ask anybody, they'll tell you. Anyway, that is my response to that quiz. I look forward to the next one and calling back. I feel like I should end with some sort of a dumb thing, but that's a different podcast. All right, guys. Bye.
Literary loophole.
Yeah. They should have said Dorothy Parker. That would have been a better example for an essayist.
If it means that all of you are actually a little more competitive than the ratings gave you, yeah. How competitive am I? Not to make this all about me.
I mean, this is just proving their point that you're definitely more competitive than we are.
Oh my gosh.
All right, let's hear from Lisa.
This is Lisa. I was not expecting to be hurled back in time to the 1980s when I took the quiz, How Competitive Are You? I got a score that tells me I have definite yuppie potential. And as somebody who owned a coffee maker that I could program with preset times and brews in college, I feel like the quiz might have been telling the future. Anyhoodle, took the quiz. Disappointed to see there was nothing in there about doing one's best, to sabotage a Model UN Security Council session unless and until someone got the awards for best delegate. Anyway, it's probably for the best if there were questions about forestry schools instead. Here to say several years in the future, pre-programmed coffee makers are excellent, so is competition, and I'm glad I didn't learn the phrase comparison is the thief of joy until I already had the coffee maker.
Fantastic. And finally, about the quiz, Dan.
Hey, sassy ladies and Dave. My name's Dan, first time, long time. And if you shoot an arrow at the Generation X bell curve, you would hit me right at the top of it in my room as a teenager, memorizing Douglas Copeland book titles and taking quizzes in the sassies and 17s of my many, many, many female friends. Competitiveness was not a huge issue for me back then. I've actually long said that I'm not that smart, but I'm a great studier. But that didn't actually matter because my older brother, one year ahead of me for our entire school career, was the valedictorian of his high school class the year before I wasn't. So no matter how good my totally fine grades were, I knew I couldn't compete on that level up to and including the damn music theory AP on which I got the highest score. In school, with one notable exception. Even in theater, I always got the lead, but the funny lead, second only to one other person, and you guessed it. And in theater, he was basically straight me, like you think they were going to let this speaking voice play Tevye? I don't, and he got that part too. But all good. Sassy's Oregon School of Forestry would always have me, or it was known on the East Coast, Zather. Things worked out for this Gen Xer and his boomer Jewish mother because I have a job and I gave her grandkids. So who wins at the game of life? me. Love you guys and everything you do. You seem really, really cool, and I hope I get to meet you all in person one day. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for all the callers that called in with their quiz reminiscences. That was a true delight.
Yeah,
so yeah, it really was. It was a nice little slumber party.
Yep.
Some follow-up stuff. I asked Tara if she remembered how Sassy came to her, because I was like, I think it just arrived, like magic, like fairies delivered it. And we had a couple people who called in about that. So let's start with Dominique.
Hi, my name is Dominique Osborne, and I'm a huge Sassy fan. And my story is that my mom actually is the one who got me my Sassy subscription. I don't know if she heard that it was a really great magazine for, like, young teen girls, or she had seen a copy in a, you know, doctor's office waiting room, but she came home and told me that she got me a subscription. And I'm not going to say it changed my life, but it just opened a whole new door for me. And I loved it so much. I covered my bedroom door and cutouts from every issue. And as an adult now, my best friend and I actually host a Riot Girl happy hour DJ night in Queens and Brooklyn. And that's where I was introduced to Riot Girl, was through the pages of Sassy. So I love you, Sassy. And I love that you guys are doing this podcast. Have a good day. Bye.
We love you. I love that story.
Yeah, what a good mom.
Yeah.
Just cool mom. And we also have a call from Sarah.
Hello, Sassians. It's Sarah D. Bunting. I'm just calling to leave you a voicemail because everyone likes to get voicemails. Love the show. First time, long time, etc. I'm actually calling to confirm that the first issue of Sassy did just sort of show up. I think I was a 17 subscriber at that time. I would have been 15, almost 15, for the first issue, and it just appeared in my mailbox. I think I was falsely accused by my mother filling out a subscription card illegally or whatever. But, yeah, I can confirm that they had access to some mailing list, and it did just turn up. Anyway, you guys are doing the Lord's work. Love the show, and talk to you later. Bye.
So I think between the Columbia House police from the first second episode and this, there's some sort of like 1980s publication Pinkerton's organization story out there to be had.
We also had a question from Emily about one of our teen life stories in our first episode.
Hey, Tara and Pam, it's Emily. Just wanted to say great job on the podcast. And I was wondering, is the article about going undercover at the Miss USA pageant a nod or their homage to Gloria Steinem going undercover at the Playboy Cub, at the, which is one of the things that launched Ms. Magazine? Just wondering to know what your take is. Have a great day. Bye.
I never thought about that, but that is a great point. At this time in history, both Sassy and Ms. were owned by the same publishing company. Ms. also had a very rocky history. It started, you know, for profit magazine, and then it went through various phases where it was like, you know, a not for profit. It was run by a foundation, and they tried other things because of the kinds of things that they were covering. They had a hard time getting advertisers at various phases in their lives. But at this point, they were both under the same umbrella. It's fun to think that maybe this was an intentional homage to their sister magazine. So I never thought of that, but maybe.
I was like, that's so smart. I like giving that credit. Like, that's a nice way to think about it. So we're very grateful that you called with your quiz and your questions, but it turns out you really can call us with just about anything, and we will love it.
I have a Sassy story for you. I was a huge Sassy buyer / devotee in the late 80s, early 90s. I especially loved all of their beauty tips. Like, I can't even tell you the amount of times that I dyed my hair with Jell-O. But one night I decided to do a baking powder facial that they had recommended, which is basically just coat your face in wet baking powder, and that was supposed to bring out the glorious tones of your skin. So I get my baking powder and I go to my bedroom and I get like a handheld mirror and I put it on and I wait for it to dry and then I go to the bathroom to wash it off. And as I'm in the bathroom, all of a sudden I hear, "Evelyn Johnston, you get in here right now." And my dad three-named me and was yelling from my bedroom. And so I come like dashing into my bedroom thinking that something crazy is going on. And my dad is standing over the mirror, pointing at the mirror going, are you doing drugs? Is this drugs? Is this cocaine? Are you doing drugs? And I'm looking at the mirror, and like, there is a mound of baking powder on this mirror. Like, I am the cocaine queen of Innisfail, Alberta. And I look at him, and I'm like, Dad, it's baking powder. And my dad, who, by the way, used to be an undercover drug squad member of the RCMP, takes his pinky finger, and he puts a little bit on the mirror, and he looks at me, obviously realizes the baking powder, and he looks at me, and he's like, don't do drugs. And then he walked away. So that is my favorite sassy memory. I look forward to the podcast. Thanks so much.
Amazing.
That is great. And just like to just cap off the imagery, even though I'm sure he wasn't dressed in his formals when he did it. The RCMP is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, a.k.a. the Mounties.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine him with his red dress and big brown hat coming into the
On a horse
inside the house.
The horse is in the background. Yeah.
He gives a little to himself and he puts a little on the horse's gum too. And the horse is like, nay.
Yay.
That was amazing. And our last call of the week.
Aaron Ferdinand, definitely not a first-time caller. Hi! So I refrain from commenting anymore during the podcast, but I have to tell you now because it still haunts me, Dave's laugh. Holy shit. It is the funniest and most frightening thing I have ever heard in my life. He was laughing so maniacally at the end, and I was like, please just make it stop. Please just make it stop. Please just make it stop. Meanwhile, laughing so hard I couldn't frickin' breathe. So, way to get into my head, Dave. Thank you. It's like a clown laugh. Wicked, wicked.
I'm hurt, but I can't say that wasn't fair.
Dave's laugh is one of my favorite sounds in the world.
It's funny to be doing this with you both now because, like, Dave really sets Pam off, and now it's like it really is a cycle where the two of you just cannot get control of yourselves. We got some more calls than we could play, so thank you all for your calls. We love listening to all of them. And one of them we're not going to play is about the September 1990 issue, so because it's so far in the future, that's why we're not playing it. But Robin, email me at Tara@TaraAriano.com. That's Tara@TaraAriano.com. I will send you a scan of what you're looking for.
Ooh, intriguing.
Yeah. Mm. We also got a wonderful email. This is from Sonia, and I'm going to read it with her permission. Working at Sassy during its launch was my first real job at age 23. I ran Sassy Club, the 2-page mail order merchandise spread at the back of the magazine. Not a sexy job, but it was a start. I had an 800 number which girls or their mothers would call to place orders. Some girls would call just to talk for hours. They say that traumatic memories are the ones that stick, and I have a vivid one from those days. We had gotten a ton of free skincare product samples, which we decided to sell in clear plastic cases that had Sassy emblazoned on them in pink for $2 a piece. The copy was supposed to include a limit of one or two per customer, but I wouldn't have a traumatic memory to tell you about if things had gone according to plan. Needless to say, every Girl Scout troop leader and class mom ordered these by the dozen, and we quickly ran out. Oh, the nasty phone calls I got. Remember, no internet back then. For days, my phone rang off the hook with people screaming at me about the back order. Finally, one woman laid into me about how disappointed her daughter was, and I burst into tears on the phone at work with a stranger. About a week later, I received a package in the mail from that mom, Nancy, and her daughter, Gwen. It contained a hang in there plaque, a few other pick me up type knickknacks, and two very sweet letters, one from each of them. I kept them by my desk until I quit that job in 1989, then packed them away with my keepsakes. I found them again when I moved years later and was filled with emotion. I packed the letters and plaques up with a new letter letting Nancy and Gwen know how much their package had meant to me and filling them in on how my life had changed during the 25 years since my time at Sassy. By then, Gwen was grown, married, and had children of her own. Thanks for the memories, good and bad. I enjoy reading about the girls who read and loved Sassy. I stopped reading it when I quit in 1989, but it had a good run and it changed the tone of teen rags forever. Pretty cool. I love that story so much. It really got me emotional. Thank you so much, Sonia, for sending that.
So Sonia was in some way responsible for Jake Busey Fido Dido coming into our world.
I don't think that she got to choose the merchandise, but yes, and she also got to model in one of these spreads. So when we
Maybe
get to
that
we'll call it out. That was not her. Oh. That was Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it said it was Jane's assistant. Because you can tell that she looks like she has been roped into this photo.
I'm not lying. If I somehow could get a Jake Busey Fido Dido shirt, I would probably wear it.
I'm writing that down.
Amazing. So we also got some reviews. We'll just read some of them. Thank you so much for everyone who rated and reviewed the podcast. It really, really helps with visibility for it. So we are so grateful to everyone who did that. And please, if you haven't yet, we would love it if you did.
As you may have noticed, there's a lot of podcasts around now. So it always helps visibility and getting the word out if you can rate us with a juicy five-star review on iTunes. That's pretty much where it all stems from.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to read a few of these. First from BNL Gusterfan. So much fun. So basically, this is me getting to hang out with my friends who don't know me while they are funny and delightful. It's perfect. Aw. No, you're perfect.
Yeah. Duchess Kitty says, this is the laughter the world needs right now. My anticipation and expectations were so high for this, and it didn't disappoint. I couldn't tell if my tears were from laughter or happiness. It sounds like a poem I wrote. But I suspect it was a mixture of both. I'm so glad that Tara and Pam exist and that I have found my people in this podcast. Thank you, Duchess Kitty.
I guess she can give or take Dave, but whatever. From Sandy Joys, which sounds like a candy from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Nostalgia for my tween years. I forgot Neil's existence, but I was brought back to my crush on this cool, sensitive Aussie after one episode of Listen to Sassy. I am laughing out loud at how I was the exact demographic for this magazine and read every issue cover to cover. Tara, Pam, and Dave, thank you, Sandy Jones, are hilarious, bringing a current-day lens to the late 80s teen Bible.
Maggie, 2369, her headline is just love, 2 exclamation marks. As a 40-something lady who still has all my issues of sassy, damn, ooh, I am definitely the target demographic and very biased, but I also objectively think this is hilarious and interesting. Keep up the awesome work, Tara and Pam. Again, she can also take and leave Dave. I can't wait for future episodes. Heart emoji. Oh, heart emoji back to you, too.
And again, hurt, but fair.
In everyone's defense, everywhere it just, you, Dave, you kept your name out of a lot of things.
So you did at first, like, but now he's starting to add it back in as he's getting more involved.
Yes, as he's getting more likes. He's our Neil. Listen, 42 says, everything I hope for. And what?
I know her.
Oh, okay.
She's a known quantity, Pam.
Okay,
beep, bop,
sorry.
Boop, human.
All right, Listen 42, thank you for saying it's everything I hope for and more. As a fan of both Sassy and the hosts, I was already excited to listen, but this truly exceeded my expectations. Hilarious and informative. It's a must listen. I think that's my brand. I'm just going for hilarious and informative. Change your tampons.
Lastly, from what I can only assume is somebody typing in the wrong spot when they first registered for iTunes, maybe. This comes from Terrible Bus App. I want to believe they just registered so that they can give a bus app a terrible review. And they put that in their username instead of the title. Anyways, Terrible Bus App writes, listen to Sassy. Because it will never give you up, let you down, run around and desert you, make you cry, say goodbye, tell a lie and hurt you.
Ah, see what they did there. Thank you so much for these reviews. We love all of them and all of you.
They're much appreciated, and we won't toot our own horn every week, but we just want to encourage everybody to get those early reviews out there and help us get the word out. Gum on gum, this podcast.
Yes.
Sign our podcast's yearbook.
Yes, absolutely. And next time, we are moving on to the teen life topics of the April 1988 issue. What's it like when your parents get divorced? When your friend dies of AIDS? When you're dating a rock star? Before you do that last one, you better know the truth about boys' bodies, and that's covered in this issue, too. Dave, get ready to learn. For my plug, friggin' Charlie Schlatter, our very first one to watch, is in season 2 of For All Mankind, Apple TV Plus's counterfactual space race show, playing a counterfactual 80s network news anchor. We stan! I reviewed the season for VanityFair.com, and we will link it in the show notes.
You can listen to me and Tara on Extra Hot Great, our TV podcast. You can also listen to my quiz show podcast, The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. We just had a rom-com episode, and coming up is season 3.
For my plug this week, I like to plug other people, so I'm going to plug my friend Julia Callahan and her friend Erin Hensley's I Remember Everything. It's a book, Life Lessons from Dawson's Creek. This comes from their podcast, Dawson's Critique, which you can find on Stitcher. This is for everybody who knows each other because of Dawson's Creek. I think you'll love this too.
That's such a great name for a podcast, Dawson's Critique.
Yeah, yeah, they're great. You can follow Tara on Twitter or on Instagram at Tara Ariano. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Pamela Ribbon. You can follow the show on both Twitter and Instagram at Listen to Sassy. And please rate and review us, as we mentioned, on the podcast app of your choice so that we can find more listeners.
Don't forget, our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Once again, that is 720-SASSY-GO. Leave us a voicemail about the show or the magazine or whatever, and we'll probably play it on a future episode. You can find out more about the podcast, visual aids, episode notes, contact info, and all that good stuff at our website. That is listentosassy.com. Thanks for listening to all our episodes about the first issue of Sassy, and we'll see you next week for the second. Woo!
Don't do drugs.